Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, my colleague and co-host. And we're headed to Lebanon, thanks to David Daoud of the FDD, reporting last week and the week before on the considerable change of the posture of Hezbollah. You will recall during the worst of the fighting the last 2 years in Hamas, Gaza, Hezbollah was either subdued or distracted by the decap strikes that Israel successfully carried out against its leadership. However, since these last weeks, it appears that Hezbollah has found new funding, new smuggling routes, and is reawakening in a very threatening fashion, despite the promises by the Lebanese government, by the UN, even by Israel, that Lebanon can be directed to benign circumstances. David, a very good evening to you. You warned, and I've been watching the story develop. When last we looked at Hezbollah, they're having no difficulty rearming. The money's flowing again, perhaps from Doha, perhaps from Ankara, perhaps from Cairo. You'll help me there. And the leadership, are they reawakening their leadership as well? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. Look, I mean, as you and Bill know, for about a year, since the Lebanon ceasefire is now just over a year old, went into effect November 27, 2024. November 28, 2024, a certain David Daoud was warning, do not take your eye off of Lebanon. Do not take your eye off of Hezbollah. They are not down for the count. They're beaten. They're severely beaten. But their ideology hasn't changed. Their objectives haven't changed. And their desire to rearm and survive has not changed. This is what we've seen for the past year. As far as we know, Iran has sent Hezbollah $2 billion at least since the end of the ceasefire. $1 billion, according to Ashurkal, also came the day after the ceasefire, and another billion in the year since January 1st, according to a recent Reuters report. So they're getting money, and that's only one small sliver of where they're getting money from. The Israelis have claimed that there are funds coming through Turkey, if not directly from Turkey, at least through Turkey. Hezbollah has its own sources of funding domestically within Lebanon. They have gas stations, they have pharmacies, they have hospitals. Right, this is not just an entity, with six guys firing a rocket. This is a sophisticated organization that has a shadow state, including a shadow economy, and they have supporters abroad. In Latin America, in West Africa, and it's not that hard for them to send money to Lebanon. If I'm a Hezbollah supporter somewhere, even in the United States, I could go down to my Western Union, put the maximum amount that would not trigger some kind of oversight. No one knows who I am. I could just be a, Hezbollah supporter in my living room, not necessarily someone who's flagged by the U.S. government, and someone in Lebanon picks that up goes to an OMT, which is Western Union. Lebanon picks that up. They're not on any watch list, and they deliver that to Hezbollah. Go trace that. So what we've seen is that despite things being more complicated for Hezbollah, obviously you have the daily Israeli airstrikes. Syria is not what it used to be. It's not the open conduit that it used to be. If anything, Syrian authorities, even the IDF, gives them, and I quote, high marks on their interdiction of weapons and funds intended for Hezbollah. But for every interdiction, you're going to probably have five they get through. especially in a country where, you know, the Syrian authorities have not consolidated control over their territory. So Hezbollah is managing to get weapons through. And what they're focusing on, what if I were them, what I'd be focusing on is the stuff that is not necessarily sophisticated, but which the Israelis don't have an answer for. So drones, drone swarms. What we saw during the last war is that the Israelis do not have an answer for drone swarms. And drones are easy to manufacture. They're cheap to produce. So if I were Hezbollah, I'd be leaning into that. And look, this, the rearmament and regeneration is not for the immediate phase. It's for the long term. And what Hezbollah is trying to do now, they want all of their adversaries to think they're down for the count so they can fly under the radar, absorb the necessary blows, but then outpace Israeli strikes and whatever action the Lebanese government claims to be taking, which, as far as we can tell, is nothing.
Bill, you have a question.
Stopping me.
You have a question.
David. Yes. David, you mentioned an old school method for Iran to send money to Hezbollah. You mentioned Western Union. Does Iran and Hezbollah use other methods such as crypto or hawalas, any other methods that you're aware of to transfer those funds?
So I've seen some reports about Hezbollah using crypto, but I don't know about all that. Look, for Hezbollah, what they want is to have untraceability. And it's not, again, it's we. I think we make a mistake when we've never looked at Hezbollah's books, right? Hezbollah's never opened up the ledger, and we've gone through their accounting and seen, say, what percentage comes from Iran versus what percentage that Hezbollah is able to fundraise for itself. And the genius, if you will, of the Iranian model is that the linkage between proxy and patron is not dependent upon material support, right? So if the weapons and the funds stop tomorrow, Hezbollah is going to remain loyal to Iran because the linkage is ideological. So this allows Iran to give Hezbollah autonomy to fundraise. And this is what we've seen. Hezbollah has its own means of fundraising, both licit and illicit. We focus a lot on the drug trade, the weapon smuggling, the money laundering, which Hezbollah has a hand in. But Hezbollah also has methods of fundraising that are otherwise legal. They have investments in property in Lebanon. Again, they have restaurants, they have pharmacies, they have you name it, right? Gas stations. So this is otherwise legal stuff. And again, they have all the support that they can get from Lebanese Shiite expatriates abroad, particularly in West Africa and the tri-border area of Latin America, where, you know, they tapped into the Shiite expatriate communities. They built replicas of their networks in Lebanon, but in Latin America. And again, we don't know if that accounts for, say, 80% of Hezbollah's budget, and maybe all the Iranian funding accounts for 20. We don't know. But what we can say for certain is this organization has made it clear they're not disarming. They're saying they're rearming. The Israelis are saying they're rearming. The Syrians keep seizing weapons. The United States is saying they're rearming. The only people who are claiming Hezbollah is not rearming is Lebanon, because Lebanon has an interest in making this claim to stop Israel's operations in Lebanon, to get the Israelis, to put pressure on the Israelis to withdraw from Lebanon. So we know where they're rearming. We know they're regenerating. It's not just rearmament. They're overall regenerating. And, you know, I think it's secondary where they're getting their funding from versus the fact that they're doing it.
You spoke well of the leadership, especially Qassem, the bookish man who's now Secretary General. What is his skill that is managing this rearming or reawakening? What's he doing?
Look, I mean, as a nerd myself, I say never underestimate the bookish nerd. You know, Qassem, he's soft-spoken. I think his strength partially is being underestimated, right? Because if you're underestimated, your enemies have taken their eyes off of you, and that allows you a lot of leeway to act. I think also part of it is his personality. What Hezbollah needs now, especially within Lebanon, is to rearm without rocking the boat too much, right? To regenerate without rocking the boat too much. So Hezbollah needs a less confrontational style vis-a-vis the Lebanese. That doesn't mean that Qassem has not engaged in some confrontational rhetoric, but he doesn't have the brand of Hassan Nasrallah, the fiery demagogue. Again, he's underestimated. He's viewed as a nerd. This plays to his advantage. His speeches, you know, I always joke my dog falls asleep during his speeches, actually. He is boring. And I think boring is exactly what Hezbollah needs right now. because it leads everyone to take their eye off the ball. It leads everyone into a false sense of complacency. And that's where he's going right now, leaning into Lebanese identity, playing on the fact that he does not have the associations with him and his brand that Nasrallah did, right? Nasrallah led Lebanon, well, led Hezbollah and by proxy Lebanon into two wars with Israel, right? He started the war on October 8th of 2023, 2006 war. He dragged Lebanon into Syria, right? Qasem can subtly say or suggest I'm taking a different approach. He's not actually, but that can play that, oh, Hezbollah's changed. And I've heard this from some analysts who are like, Hezbollah is thinking of changing. It's not possible. It wouldn't be Hezbollah anymore. But that's exactly the impression Hezbollah wants to give. And this is the advantage that Qasem brings. Again, he is underestimated. He's cerebral. That gives him an advantage. And he doesn't have the branding of Hassan Nasrallah, which is, you know, the bellicose demagogue with all these associations of bringing war and destruction upon Lebanon. All of that would allow Hezbollah to lower the temperature, lower the attention on itself. I mean, when even the Israelis are saying, oh, we're happy Naim Qasem is heading Hezbollah, right? That's October 6th thinking, and that's exactly what Hezbollah needs to survive right now.
David Daoud of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow at FTD. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.